Good morning, David.
Good morning.
And I know you've been bright-eyed and bushy-tailed for a couple hours, so I will jump right on into it. So far in 2021, I was thinking about this early this morning. My focus, for at least my own personal growth and personal development, has been in the month of January. It's how do we learn from 2020? Not so much any mistakes per se, or in that category, but that was supposed to be the year of perfect vision, the year of, you know, 2020, everything. And it didn't turn out so much. And I went back and re-listened to the conversation I had with our oldest daughter and on the subject of adapting to accelerate. That the faster we learn how to adapt, the faster we can accelerate with anything, whether it be something as simple as a flat tire when we're late to get to some place, or a major life decision of for Stacy and I not moving to Africa. How do we accelerate faster? Well, we have to first learn how to adapt. And then last month, we focused in on February being Heart Month. How do we follow the golden rule? How do we follow Jesus' example of love your neighbor as yourself? How do we to thine own self be true? We really focused in on taking care of ourselves, getting our mind in our A game, and that builds upon adapting to accelerate. And what I want to focus in this month, and David, I so appreciate you being willing to answer some simple questions about what are the most effective ways to go into March Madness. And if you're not a basketball fan like myself, because I really don't enjoy the game. I've never played the game. I mean, they just didn't I never got picked at 5'6". I would never get picked. And so there was no interest for me whatsoever. But the concepts of putting five people on a team, playing another five people in key positions, that fascinates me. And going into March, going into what Nikan's given us to work with, going into life, it's huge. So, David, the one question I want to get us started with, and again, I'm looking at this amazing simple list of ways to build a team. And more often than not, I know for us in Nikan, I've been playing in this industry for 28 years now. We may look at, I don't really want to build a team. I just want to share the products with few other people, maybe make some money, or maybe I do want to turn it into a business, or maybe I just want to be a consumer. But it is all about building a team, isn't it? I mean, life in general.
Well, we got here because of a team. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, they were the first team. And so everything in my world has revolved around that concept. A marriage in the beginning is a partnership, but when that first child comes, then you move from a partnership to a team, and the dynamics change greatly. So this is not something that man thought up. This is something that God thought up long before we ever got here. So,
just simple that illustration of us starting with a team of three, or a marriage of two. That that's why I was trying to find out if my mom was on the call this morning, because her birthday is next week and I wanted to honor her. And because I spent pretty much all day yesterday with my parents and having a lot of different conversations, something you taught me. Let's have a conversation about that. It could be long or it could be short, but let's focus in on this team aspect of what can we do to bring a greater resolve or a greater result to what we're dealing with. That simple concept, looking back in your life, and I had a great conversation with a friend yesterday, and she said, what is Dr. David Robinson's background? Which you shared that a few weeks ago. Would you say there is one that stands out above the rest? And I want to open this up because I've asked several people to ask their, you know, favorite leadership question about teamwork, building teams. Mine would simply be this. Is there one thing, one attribute, or one thing that you've done to be the most effective, that everything rises and falls, that if you don't have this, if you don't do this, then you won't be the best coach that we could be, or the best person, or the best team builder? Would there be one thing that you'd start with?
Well, for me personally, and I wouldn't say this is a model for everyone, but for me personally, Mark 10:45 was given to me when I was a sophomore in college one day in a class. God spoke to me and said this would be what would define my life from that day forward, and that is, for even the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister, to give his life a ransom for many. Selfish people really struggle building a team. That was the first thing that came to me. You're either going to be serving yourself or you're going to be serving others. And if you want to be a great leader and you want to be a team builder, and I don't know how you can be a leader if you don't have a team, there is no need for leadership. And so for me, it's always been others first. Somebody has to lead. And if God's gifted you to lead, put you in a room, it won't be long until either your leadership's going to emerge or someone else's leadership's going to emerge. And a non-selfish person never has a problem moving over for a more accomplished and better leader. So thinking of others first, not second, but first, has always served me well.
You know, I wasn't necessarily going to go here, but I will, because that exact verse was on a flip calendar of mine yesterday. And the quote underneath of it by Oswald Chambers, and I'll loosely paraphrase it, simply said this, that some people aren't willing to do the simple tasks that great people, great leaders are, because they say, oh, no, that's for somebody else. And I know that for me, serving in our community as a volunteer firefighter, that served me well. Doing the little things that keep getting overlooked. And we see this constantly, and I don't want to, I'm hoping I'm not destroying anybody's model, idea, or concept of what firefighters do, because they're all heroes, they're all servants, especially the 80% in this country that are volunteer. However, what can happen is that the anti-leadership can creep in and people will sign up for the glory of it and they won't be willing to do or even respond. This is the tragedy of it. Not even willing to respond on the calls that are not as glorious, because they'll look at the paging system or they'll look at their phone and say, that's been the to me. Oh, but a structure fire. Or a rollover on the interstate. Oh, I'm there. And that's sad, because it's the little calls that I like to look at and say, well, that's where I get to connect and meet my neighbors one siren at a time. And this is exactly what I hear you talking about. And I do want to remind others that those of you who know the secret code, you can jump in here at any time and ask David questions that come to your mind, especially those of you who have taken the time to read over his, what I call that leadership cheat sheet.
Well, Vance, one of the things
go ahead, David.
One of the things that I teach is it's not the greatness of the task that determines the greatness of the leader. It's the greatness of the leader, regardless of the task, even the smallest task, is done with excellence and greatness. And that's just not going to happen without a spirit of humility, which is greatly lacking today in any venue that you want to pick. But great leaders make every task great.
Amen. Well, we see, you don't know this, but we have that in our current NECN's global president, Mr. Luis Kasuga. And a couple years ago, when he just got put into the position of, oh, what was his title back then? I think it was global president, but now he's the global president and the CEO. And I was at a training event in which he was the AV guy, the audiovisual guy. He's like, do we have anybody to do this? Because I'd gladly like to do it. And I kept thinking, you know, they could have hired somebody. They could have paid somebody to do it. But he wanted to be there anyway. He was not teaching the class. He was not leading the full day of exercises. But he was there helping us all day long, making sure that, you know, everything was working properly because he could. And I thought about what you just said, that great leaders will walk in humility. And they'll be willing to do some of those tasks that need to be done. And maybe it wasn't over. I don't know. It doesn't matter. But I champion what you just said because that it is greatly lacking. Somebody who's willing to go that extra mile or do that extra little thing without ever thinking or uttering the words, well, that's not my job. That's beneath me. And we see that. And I think one of the biggest things, and I would love to parlay, and I do want to remind people, the line is open for those of you who know that code that I gave to you. And if you want to text me, if you've got a question, just fire me a text, and I will gladly give you a different code to push, to throw something David's way. But looking at sales, and everything rises and falls on sales. You prove this in the RV industry. I've seen you do it in a boardroom meeting. Looking at sales as it's not evil, but really following up with people, and you shared quite a bit about finding out what the needs of the people are before we even present anything, but just in that conversation. Looking back during your time in that industry, or even now, increasing sales, increasing our sharing ability. Same answer, same response as far as servant leadership, or something else?
If you want to increase sales, there's only two ways to do it, and that's increase the sale of your current customers, have them buy more products, or you increase the people that you're talking to. And but it's still meeting a person's need. I couldn't sell anything that I didn't believe addressed a need that they had. Now, in our case, you don't have to have RVs. Those are luxury items. But they're going to buy them from someone. And so we wanted to be able to service their needs. And a satisfied customer, I forget what the average, I think it is, they tell 5 people, but an unsatisfied customer tells maybe 50 people. And so customer service is huge after the sale. If you want to increase the volume of sales. And we found that it pays to invest in customers. I have given away thousands and thousands of dollars of service work to customers that I felt was a worthy investment. And you just can't get away from if you're and I you know my wife, you know my wife, the rest of them don't have the privilege of doing that, but she says I'm not a salesman, but I've watched her sell more new wave ovens than probably anybody I know. she has to believe in it. And if you believe in what you're wanting to serve other people, you're not selling, you're answering a need that they have. That's all.
Well, I look. Yeah, no, and you something as simple as a new wave oven. Now you've got my curiosity up because your lovely bride has got. Because I can see her, I can totally see her standing in front of the oven or in a conversation to me, saying, "Vance, you don't have one of these, really?" You know, and almost to the point of questioning, you know, my devotion to Stacy. You know, 25 years of marriage, and for some we're just getting started, but others were like, "Whoa, wow, that's quite a while." But we have two ovens, and neither one of those is exactly that brand or that style. But I've seen that in other people, that they get passionate about something. And I know Facebook, by the way, folks, this may come as a shock and alarm to some of you who might be just discovering or you've been on it for a while. But Stacy and I were talking about this the other evening, and she's just scrolling. And because she's blocked out so much of the negativity from friends of ours, that it's just toxic. So she said, I've just hid them. They're still there, but I can't see their stuff anymore, their posts. So as she's scrolling through it, it's just become a big advertisement, one commercial after the other, different products that have completely overtaken what used to be a sharing app. Now we can still find and connect with people that way, but it's the same thing, David. What you're saying is that, you know, a good experience, somebody will tell five people or whatever, but a bad experience, you multiply that times 10. It's greater. So how do we create more of those good experiences and become passionate about what we're doing? It's really conveying our story. Fast forward to today. Go ahead.
Just let me make this. Satisfied customers won't make you a better salesman. It's your unsatisfied customers that will make you a better salesperson.
I agree. Absolutely.
Don't discount
because it's,
them.
Yeah. It's the ones that don't respond or don't give us the answer we want that force us to retweak our message. Looking at where we're at today, and again, our culture today is so different, and it changes. One of the first things I do every day before I have my little routine and ritual, and sometimes it gets interrupted, and that's fine. I've always looked at people should trump my projects. And if my project is to, you know, read the Bible for 15 to 30 to 45 minutes every day to start, and all of a sudden I get a phone call from somebody on the East Coast, and it's really early for me, but that's when they choose to call, I interrupt my project for the person, because I always, and it could be my daughter Addie, who gets up earlier than everybody else, but my point, David, and I'd love to have you comment about this, is that routines are great. And even listening to a 3-minute segment like I do typically every morning from NPR to hear what's going on in the world and hearing that it's changing so fast to modify my message. And that served me well yesterday, bumping into somebody I hadn't seen in, oh my goodness, I'd say at least a year. Very successful businesswoman. Her husband's a successful architect. And we've talked about our Nikon products before. And she, and I don't mean this in a negative way, but her physical body is aging much older than she is. Not just in her appearance, but her posture and everything. And I would like to, but she's the one that approached me, and she waited outside to tell me what was going on because I paid of interest to her. But in the ever-changing culture that we have, connecting with people is a little bit more challenging with social distancing and other protocols. What have you found to still be the most successful way to connect with people to, as you said earlier, to increase sales, we must do one of two things: increase the existing customers we have, increase their sales, or expand our customer base. What would you say is the fastest way to increase in both of those arenas as far as connecting with people?
If you really want to connect with people and not just inform people, I mean, marketing efforts are simply to create a sense of urgency for whatever it is that you want to promote. But when you want to connect with somebody at a deeper level, you have to determine how they communicate, which may be totally different in the way you communicate. Case in point, my wife and I have been married 53 years in June. She is a listener and a talker, and I am a reader and a writer. So it might took us about 25 years to figure out if she wants me to do something, write me a note. If I want her to do something, give her a smile and a verbal request. And so marketing is all about the numbers. Selling is all about the individual. And so you mentioned about your routine being interrupted. And my son, who trains salesmen, he has to get them to stop reading from the script, even if they have it memorized, and get them to realize who is the person sitting or standing in front of them. You have to determine who that person is and how they communicate. Are they a reader and a writer, or a listener and a talker? And learn to communicate in the language of the person you're wanting to connect with, rather than just informing the person about all the great things that you have. Your interruptions is what creates value for others. Your routines are what creates value for yourself.
Can you say that again?
Yeah, your interruptions is what creates value for others. How you create value for others is because you are willing to be interrupted. You're willing to come out of your routine for their benefit. And your routines is what creates value for yourself. I mean, the more that you can put life on autopilot, the more that you're able to accomplish. But that has a lot to do with personality types. And, you know, I say my wife lives interrupted. Now, that's an exaggeration to make the point, but I'm very routine oriented. I like everything in place. Everything has a place, you know, all that. But when you're communicating and you're talking about connecting with people, your interruptions is what creates value for them. And I've shared a lot with ministers through the years. And I tell them, your real ministry is the interruptions that you can't anticipate, but you prepare for. Can't schedule interruptions, but you can prepare for interruptions.
Well, the routine for a minister or for a leader, I think they'd be one and the same, and I think you'd agree on that, that anybody who's leading a team, whether it be a getting started in an industry and you have a few customers, or looking back for Stacy and I for, you know, 28 years, we have a lot of satisfied customers. We have a lot of satisfied consultants who in turn have customers. And again, it's changing. I get told on a regular basis. I asked somebody, somebody asked me the other day, are you on this social media app? And I said, well, I have it, but I don't use it. And my reason why is I can faster connect with people with a simple text. And if they don't reciprocate back, that okay. And then following it up with a phone call But for the masses, I have to, change my game. But what I hear you saying is that if we'll learn how to manage the interruptions and continue on in our path, that the better we're going to become, because those are always going to be there. You've met her, but you haven't got to spend much time with our youngest daughter, Addie. She is a walking interruption in times 100, easy. That when she walks into a room, it's like the party is on because she is there. And going on a vacation last weekend, we told her repeatedly, you need to keep your stuff contained, because when you start losing it, we're not going to pick it up after you. And it was hilarious to watch her explode. But that's her personality. Whereas David, I'm more like you. I want to keep everything concise and in its perfect place. And it's not a negative trait of being, we get labeled OCD. It's just easier rather than just scattering everything everywhere. And we see this with people. And even watching that testimony video of Herb Rapp, which I know you got to see yesterday as well, I looked at his desk.
I felt bad all day long. What he can do at his age.
The aspect of being able to go, but his routine changed, just like what you just said. Instead of going into a tennis tournament at 72 years young, being unprepared, and then dealing with all the war wounds, as we call them, after, he changed his routine and said, I'm going to go into this being better prepared, and put the products on. And that's more of an Asian concept of prevention. And we know the statistics. $1 spent on prevention is worth, $15 on the other end. David, did you get to watch the Super Bowl and the commercials this year?
I did not watch halftime. I did watch some of the commercials.
Did you see? I'm looking at a case of Kirkland brand oat milk. Did you happen to see the commercial with the president and founder of the company called Oatly?
I did not. I
It
was in
was.
a big group of men at our church, and so, when the commercials came on, the conversations picked back up, so.
Okay. Well, I want to just bring this up for the sake of a learning from a routine. It was voted one of the top five worst commercials. The owner, young gentleman wearing a t-shirt on a keyboard and singing an 80s style ballad about the benefits of drinking Oatly brand milk. It's milk made from oats, and he's out in a field that looks like a cow pasture, so to speak, but it's an oat field. It kind of amber waves the grain, so to speak. But they knew it was going to be one of the worst commercials. They already had t-shirts printed up that said, that were on the front, and they sold them out. They were gone before the Super Bowl was even finished, because people went on social media and started talking about how stupid this commercial was. T-shirts that said, voted top five or the worst commercial of Super Bowl 2021. It was all part of the marketing campaign.
Yeah, genius.
Absolute pure genius. And this brand of oat, it comes out of, I think he's Swedish, if I remember correctly, and which Sweden may be a little country of 9, million people, yet companies like IKEA, most people have heard of IKEA, all right? And 1% of the wood production in the world goes to IKEA for their furniture. And I'm thinking, okay, this is definitely out of the box. But my point is simply this, that if we're willing to do something a little different, we're going to capture a huge market of people. and it's finding out what that difference is.
Is
David, I
the
want to be
question
respectful. Yeah, go ahead.
how to increase our customer base? Is that
Sure. That's a good question.
if I were, regardless of who I was speaking to, I always say, never forget the funnel effect in increasing your customer base. And what I mean by that is, who are the possibilities and who's reaching those people now that you don't have direct access to? But if you see a big funnel and you see all these people that you want to reach going into somebody else's funnel, just camp out close by and catch the spillover to start with until you create your own funnel. And so, who are the potential customers? I'm sure you guys have talked about this. Who are all of the potential customers? And then, what methods are current based on generations? People my generation are just catching up, and I don't know if we'll ever get fully caught up on all these apps, because about the time you think you got one or two done, here the kids come up with a half a dozen more. And but you stay on that constant learning curve of who are the people that could benefit through what we sell. And you figure out where they hang out, even on social media. There are lots of marketing opportunities that I think are never fulfilled because people like that commercial on Super Bowl. Somebody in that marketing department decided, why should we try to compete against all of those who are going to wow everyone with what they're doing? Let's just take the opposite effect, and it was a winner. That's called thinking outside the box. There's of all the people I work with, Vance, one of the books that I require them to read is The Contrarian's Guide to Leadership. Everything contrary to what you think leadership is, he addresses it. The book was written by Dr. Stephen Sample, who at the time was the president of University of Southern California. And it's a great little book, but it gets you to think outside the box. In fact, he says, get rid of the box altogether. Don't just color outside the lines, get rid of the lines. Then leadership can always bring people back to reality. In my world, leadership has always flowed on a continuum between chaos and control. And leaders like to create chaos, and then they have the managers around who finally make sense out of the chaos he just created. And about the time they get really good control of it, then he goes to the mountain again and gets another vision and comes back and creates, excuse me, chaos again. So leadership is about creating the ideas that are just totally out of the box. And then the team gets together and figures out how to make it work.
We saw this a few weeks ago in the investment industry with GameStop stock.
Yep.
And it turned the entire, well, at least in the US, it turned it completely upside down. And it was hilarious. And if you're not, folks, if you're not familiar with that, just Google it. And it's hilarious, in my opinion. Young people, my children, who don't own any stock, they all of a sudden perked up and realized, wait a second, this is something paying attention to. Why? Because they, as you just said, they obliterated the box altogether. that, you know, not just coloring outside the lines, they just turned it upside down. And you're absolutely correct. And I consider myself in an older generation who are continuing learning how to adapt to what people are using to communicate with this app or that app, but just exactly what happens when I figure out how to use it, they come up with a different one. So it's an ever changing, but nothing that I've found or seen ever will trump a personal phone call or a handwritten note or a direct face-to-face conversation. Even if I'm required to wear a mask in a setting, and it's still, I can read people's eyes. They can see the genuineness. I can see it in theirs. And so it's about the connection. One last question, and I'm going to finish with this, David, and I didn't send it to you, and I should have. But Nikan a few days ago announced a promotion on all of our water products because it's huge. Our culture is driving it. In 2016, the bottled water sales surpassed the carbonated beverage industry. And Coca-Cola and Pepsi, with their products, Aquafina and Dasani, from both those large beverage companies, they were laughing all the way to the bank. Because our culture had adapted over to the concept that if we purchase water that's in a plastic container, it's better, it's healthier for us. And it's proven it's not. But it surpassed, tipping the scales, over $100 billion in 2016. And here's my point. Lucretia Dodd, whom you don't know, but I was chatting with her last night, and she posted on social media, on Facebook, she said, let me show you how to eliminate one of your two water bills. She said, you're paying for water to come into your home. And then she went as far as saying to her friend, she said, and you people are foolish enough to stand in line to get cases of water because that's your second water bill. Let me show you how to eliminate at least one of them. And I thought the idea, the concept was brilliant.
Yeah.
By investing into a home filtration device or a water bottle, and this promotion that Nikan's given us is simply buy one, get the second one at half off. So that encourages a customer to think, well, who else can I share this other one with? Because they're going to get it at half off. And maybe we'll split the price a little bit so it still comes down, and free shipping and all the other things that go with it. Looking at a promotion like this, and again, you know nothing about it, and I apologize because I should have sent it to you to kind of give it a look over, but I think I've given you the details enough. How would you utilize a promotion like that? And again, it could apply to bananas, or as we were talking about earlier, oat milk. You know, buy one case, get the second one half off. What would you suggest would be the at least something? Maybe I'm sure there's like a top five that you could come up with. But connecting with people that we all should be drinking water, at least half our body weight every day to stay hydrated. But what would be something that, again, in the South, just a couple weeks ago, that was a crisis. And as the good marketers tell us, never waste a good crisis. And be an ambulance chaser. But it comes to mind that, hey, maybe you shouldn't have to fall prey to that. That you and your family would ever have to, because if you did this, a couple $100 investment, you'd never have to worry about that again. That's the way I look at it, and our family has enjoyed it for almost 10 years now. But looking at a water promotion like that, thoughts?
Well, as recent as 2 years ago, I believe, I was told that the number one marketing tool today is Facebook. And I don't know if the other social apps are taking more market share away from that. But having a personal Facebook page or a company Facebook page would be the first one. I would exhaust all of the social apps and have a presence there, then you go through your circles of influence. Those would be the two that I would use the most. And then people are going to start gathering back. And so county fairs, you know, all the above ways to have a presence. But is that a new marketing tool that just came out? Or is this?
Yeah, as in 6 days ago. Not so much a marketing tool, but a 1 month campaign. And one of the things that we're still, here we are 3 months into our third month of the year, and the concept of free shipping on big ticket items is new to us, following Amazon's lead. For if you have an Amazon Prime account, basically 90% or greater of what you purchase is going to be free shipping.
Yeah.
And it's a marketing campaign. And they've and Jeff Bezos, again, laughing all the way to the bank. Second wealthiest man on the planet, you know, next to Elon Musk, who same scenario. He's,
yeah,
he's, you know, doing so many different things. But I like that response. Just exhaust all of that. And I also like the fact that you've pointed out that we will start gathering. So are we making preparations to being able to meet with people face to face? Because I know what Herb Rapp is doing. You can't play tennis on a Zoom presentation. At least I've not found anybody. And what he did a couple weekends ago by entering a tennis tournament, a seniors tennis tournament, I believe is what it was. He did that. Stacey and I watched a volleyball game the other night. We didn't get to watch it live. We wanted to watch our niece. So we had to watch it virtually just because of the protocols that are in place. Now, those are going to change because we're getting wiser and we're reaching some numbers that are safe. But other cultures have been doing what we're talking about for decades. They don't cross those barriers, and they're much wiser when it comes to disease control and that kind of thing. But David, I want to say thank you because you've given me a lot, and I know you've given lots of other people great ideas. The concept of, okay, wait a second, a servant leader is the best type of leader, and being able to exhaust everything we have and then figuring out how to get one step ahead. And the water industry in itself is huge, and Nikan's not just a water solution company. We have many others, but please do me a favor. And I know we had several people respond positively the first time. Can you give your both your website and your email address for people that want to get added to your weekly email list, either or both, because your nuggets of wisdom have greatly impacted my life over the last few years, and I'd like for more people to take advantage of that.
Sure. My email is coach@gmail.com. So it's coach@gmail.com. And my website is
CoachDaveRobinson.com is the website. And again, you can find the resources that David makes available for free. I would highly encourage. What was the title of the book again, out of the University of Southern California?
The Contrarian's Guide to Leadership.
Contrarian's Guide to Leadership.
Yeah, contrary. So it's Contrarian's Guide to Leadership.
I got it. So contrary to what you were leading to believe, or you were left to believe.
Yeah.
Got it. And again, I want to encourage you, if you don't have, a lot of us do. I get a lot of emails and I'm trying to get off of email lists, and I find myself wondering, how did I ever get on that email list? I have no interest in that field whatsoever. This is one that would serve you well. It has served me well, and I'm not going to go into the history of how David and I's lives came together, but I owe you a ton, David, and I'll repeat what, when our time serving on a board together ended, I know that Stacy looked at me and she said, "Husband," that's our pet name for each other, husband and wife. There's no sweet pea or pumpkin or muffin or anything like that. We don't call each other food items. But she said, "Husband, you need to make sure you keep utilizing David, because I've seen how much your life has been impacted." So thank you.
You're more than welcome, and it's been a joy to be with you again, Vance, and your team. And if I can do anything, please don't hesitate to contact me.
Thank you again. Dr. David Robinson has been our guest this morning. And again, I encourage you, if you know somebody that you think, man, those were some really good nuggets and truths, Saturday AM Live is where this conversation gets posted. And I would encourage you, if you missed the first time with David, go back and listen to that again. I found it incredibly helpful to go back and review and look at my notes. Like, it's like a good, you go to a great church and a pastor throws some zingers at you, then go back and review your notes, because a good pastor will spend 20 to 30 hours in preparation for that one 30 to 45 minute message that gets delivered. Professional speakers do the same thing. They have a lifetime. You see this over and over and over and over with the TED Talks. So go back and check it out. I do want to throw out right here at the end that Barbara Richmond will be with us for the next 2 weeks, focusing in on water. She's got an amazing story of what the Nikan water did for her, and she's going to share that next week. And then 2 weeks from today, open up the line to really ask some questions. Because I can ask lots of questions, and I've already had the conversation with her and already adapting. And what I'm doing today came out of my conversation with her a few days ago. So I've asked her to come in and share with us. So take advantage of it, folks. It's amazing to see what can happen when, as the Bible says, we give a cup of cold water to somebody who's parched and thirsty. What can happen? A simple solution that can change families' lives forever. And so take advantage of it. So thank you again to Dr. David Robinson for being our guest, and have a great weekend.